Welcome, everyone, to the Carolina Outdoors. Come on in. The listening is fine. The Carolina Outdoors is in session. I'm your host, Bill Barty. And today, on this segment, we're going to talk a little bit about wildlife, more specifically, southern wildlife. So during the stay-at-home orders and quarantine, during the spring and summer, many cities cited the appearances of animals that normally stay in the woods, jungles, forests, and plains of their respective regions. Cameras logged daily migrations that occurred with the absence of morning commutes and evening rushes to the office, gyms, or concerts. Our next guest has made a study of watching and reporting on wildlife around the Southeast. His new book celebrates these animals that many times we live amongst but still take for granted. The book, The Southern Wildlife Watcher, the author, Rob Simbeck, who joins us now on the Carolina Outdoors. Welcome, Rob.
Good morning, Bill. I'm really delighted to be here and to have access to this audience of yours.
Well, it's fantastic to have you. And just so you know, and our audience knows, right now, you may be listening to us via the airwaves of WBT Radio, blasting up and down the Eastern Seaboard. And then we also have a whole new podcast audience that is listening to the Carolina Outdoors via subscription. So we welcome all of them to learn about you and the Southern Wildlife Watchers. So with that, Rob, tell us how you first started taking notice of the creatures that you write about in the book that we live with. And then after that question's answered, what made you create a book celebrating it?
Okay, well, I grew up at the edge of a small town in the mountains of Pennsylvania. It was the generation and the parents who, I got to turn that off. I apologize.
Hello.
I'm sorry.
That's your fan club calling.
I always turn off that phone before an interview, and I forgot this morning, and I apologize.
Well, for our people waking up early, that's just one extra alarm.
There you go. And so this was the time and the parents who said, you know, be home by dark. And we had woods and creeks and fields to wander. We would, you know, catch what we called crabs, but were actually crayfish. We could spot pretty much every kind of creature there still is in the mountains of Pennsylvania, including, I mean, we had bears in that part of the world, as many places in the Southeast do. And so I noticed a lot of things, but I was not the kind of guy who was really good about, even though I had, you know, guidebooks and field guides and stuff, I didn't consider myself very much of an expert at all. And then years and years later, I met Debbie, my better half. We've been together 30 some years now. When I was dating her, we would go on walks in the woods or picnics, and I realized that Debbie knew every bird and tree and rock in the woods. And so since I was following her around already, I decided to pay attention. And I started writing about what I was learning from her. The first piece I did, I was trying to break in as an outdoor writer. The first piece I did from those walks was called Notes from a Birdwatcher's Friend. And the great thing about state magazines, state wildlife magazines, is that they don't overlap for the most part. And so I sold that piece 12 different times to 12 different magazines. And I thought, man, I have got to keep writing about the outdoors, and I've got to hang on to Debbie. And I've done both through the years. And this book grew out of a column I did for 25 years for South Carolina Wildlife Magazine. And it's a gorgeous magazine, has always had terrific editors. And Linda Renshaw was the editor in the 90s. And she said, Rob, I'd love a column every issue about a different critter. And I think you might be the guy to do it. Give me a sample or two and let's see. And started in 94 and did the last one at the beginning of this year. And that's where the book is drawn from. It's a collection of some of my favorite pieces and some of the University of South Carolina Press's favorites in three categories, air, land, and water. And Linda had always said, make it interesting. And so I tell a story from my own experience or something I've heard about. And then I go into bringing an expert in so that I really know, you know, try to know what I'm talking about. And that's where it grew out of.
Well, and I'm glad that you said that. And I just learned something about you. You're an outdoor writer before anything, it sounds like. But on those experts and naturalists that are within the book, how did you collect those people and the quotes that you use and that they use within the book?
Well, the great thing about being a freelance writer is you don't have to know anything. You have to find people who do and then put what they say in, you know, paragraph form and please an editor with it. And so I'm pretty fearless about looking around in a case like this. And with South Carolina, I would look around online for, you know, people who are biologists or who worked for the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources or one of the universities. And if they seemed like they knew what they were talking about with one of the critters I was working on, I would just drop them a line. And they are some of the most underappreciated people in the world, the people who work for state wildlife and natural resources agencies. They're on the front lines of our interaction with animals and the environment. And they're the ones who are, you know, trying to help us have access to it while protecting it. And so I would talk to them about every creature that I was doing a piece on, and they were great sources of information. And so I had an expert for every piece when I pulled together the 36 that make up this book. But I knew I needed to broaden my base because we wanted to do critters that were found throughout the Southeast. So I would look up somebody in Louisiana and somebody in Kentucky and somebody in Florida and somebody in Tennessee for different creatures and expand that base. So I've still got some of my South Carolina experts, but I've got them from all over the Southeast. And mostly it's just a matter of dropping a line and saying, hey, here's what I'm doing. Here's who's publishing it. Can we talk? And we'd either do it over the phone or I'd send emails and we'd go back and forth. But they were just great about being interesting and being knowledgeable.
Wow. If you're just joining us, I'm Bill Barty. On the Carolina Outdoors, our guest is Rob Simbeck. He's the author of The Southern Wildlife Watcher. And Rob, I must let everyone know that I was excited, of course, to get to speak with you. But they should also know that when I saw that we were going to be talking about wildlife, and then I saw your bio, you have articles from the Washington Post to Rolling Stone, from Bob Kingsley's Country Top 40 to the Nashville Scene. So when I saw wildlife, I was thinking about entertainment and showbiz and that whole side of wildlife, rhinestones and whiskey, honky tonks and sad songs, not birds and bears, bullfrogs and bobcats. You spend a lot of time with artists, especially in the country music realm. How does that interest, that side of your profession, meet the outdoor and naturalist and wildlife side of your profession?
The crossover is just at a crazy high level. I mean, Hank Sr. Fished on Kentucky Lake, where I've fished a million times. Pretty much every outdoor-oriented country singer has a big spread of land outside Nashville, or in a case of my old friend Blake Shelton in Oklahoma, and before he ended up in Hollywood, but he still got the place out there. And there are so many people who hunt, fish, hike, dirt bike, all that sort of thing. And I moved to Nashville in 1982 from Los Angeles, where I'd been a magazine editor and had a band and wrote songs. I moved here as a songwriter, could never make a full-time living at it, and started writing bios for singers. Whenever a new CD comes out, there is a little 3 or 4 page thing that tells newspaper people and radio people who the artist is and what it's about, whether they're well-known or not. And I started doing those in the old days it was Waylon and Kenny Rogers and Randy Travis and Loretta and people like that. And, you know, more recently it's been Carrie Underwood and Brad Paisley and Blake and just a lot of other people. And so I've formed friendships through the years, and we were lucky enough to get quite a few endorsement quotes from the late Charlie Daniels was one. One of the last times I talked to him was about, you know, seeing if he'd be willing to give a quote for the book. And he liked the book and gave us one. And Leon Womack and Kix Brooks, Craig Morgan, who's of course a great outdoorsman with his own shows, video shows that he does for some of the outdoor networks. And it's just always been big slop over. The people who make country music invariably appreciate and love the outdoors. And it's been a great mixture of careers.
Well, I wanted to ask you, and actually with a bend towards our listeners, and then we're going to get into the animals. We have to get into the animals. But you as an artist and they as artists, and no matter what you do, are they using, and you growing up in Pennsylvania the way you did, are they and you and maybe we using the outdoors as our creative reset, our refresh, so that we can come back and be healthier and wiser and more creative with what we do and how we do it?
Yeah, I think that's probably the way most of us do. I mean, a walk in the woods for me is a way to shake off any of the concerns that I have. And it's that way for a lot of people. And whatever one's belief system, we came out of the dirt. We came out of the same dirt that every plant and animal there is comes out of. I mean, the human egg, like the egg of any animal or the seed of any creature is of any plant, is just a recipe for turning dirt and water into us. And so that's home. We're headed back there too. Again, no matter what your belief system, we're headed back there. And so I think there's such a primal link that we have. I mean, just the difference between a place with trees and a place without trees is monumental. I mean, we feel a kinship with the way that they wave and the leaves shimmy and the firmness of the bark and the way they take nourishment. I think we just feel that. And so I've always been drawn to looking at all of the creatures around us, and this book happens to concentrate on the animals, the insects and birds and mammals and fish and just everything that's out there.
Hey, what's your favorite? What's your favorite story, I should ask, in the book, The Southern Wildlife Watcher?
My favorite story would have to be one that came about from meeting Debbie. Our first couple of dates. I'll read just a couple of quick paragraphs, if you don't mind, so people can get a flavor for what these things are like. And this is the ruby-throated hummingbird chapter. "Sit here on the porch," Debbie said one Sunday afternoon in early summer. "I want to show you my hummingbirds." We had just started dating, and I had come to visit her at her little white house in the country. She picked up something that looked like an hourglass with several tiny red saxophones sticking out the bottom. I soon learned it was a hummingbird feeder, but my knowledge of flora, fauna, and their associated hardware was so rudimentary at the time, I had no idea. She walked a few paces into the yard and stood holding the gadget about a foot in front of her face, which wore a look of determined expectation. She stood this way for several minutes, her arm crooked at a 45-degree angle, until I began to believe the hummingbirds might be imaginary, and that I should start tiptoeing toward my car. Soon, though, something that sounded like a tiny atomic cat purring zipped across my field of vision. It stopped a few feet from her, and the feeder, hanging in midair like a battery-operated Christmas ornament, its body angled kind of like the Concorde. It eyed her, eyed the feeder, and moved in for a drink. Debbie lit up like she'd just been named Miss America, and I have to admit, I was pretty impressed too.
And you romantic devil.
I scored lots of points with that one. I got it. But that's, this book is about the places where life intersects with the creatures around us. And it just, a lot of books like this concentrate on things like, white-tailed deer and bald eagles and the more majestic of the creatures. And there are some of those in here. But I also talk about the housefly and the earthworm neither of which, by the way, are native to North America. One of the many just amazing things you learn as you dig down just a little on the creatures around us. So I try to give their due to every creature out there from a spider to a bobcat.
Hey, with that being said, though, do you have a favorite animal that you did write about in the book?
When I walk in the woods, I like to see and hear pileated woodpeckers. If you're going to have a bird, I mean, yes, warblers are pretty and everything, but usually you're straining, you know, to see one that's flitting about in the top of a tree with your binoculars. And then when you do see it, you try to remember the field marks and get your field guide out and stuff. With a pileated woodpecker, you can hear that nyuk, nyuk, nyuk about, you know, half a mile away. You know they're coming. You hear them banging on things and ripping bark off trees. That's a bird. And that's my favorite bird. And, you know, I always love seeing them when I'm out in the woods.
Well, Rob, you continue to get brownie points along the way because you don't know this, but I hang my hat at Jesse Brown's Outdoors in Charlotte, North Carolina through the week. And our mascot at Jesse Brown's is the pileated woodpecker. We nicknamed the water drummer. So whenever you're at Jesse Brown's or see our website, jessebrowns.com, you will see that pileated woodpecker. We are running tight on time. I have to ask you this, and for all of our listeners out there, our guest, Rob Simbeck, the Southern Wildlife Watcher, is here on the Carolina Outdoors. We all want to become wildlife watchers or better wildlife watchers. In fact, bird watching is listed as the top participated endeavor in the United States. Over 70 million people birdwatch, but I'm not good at it, but I try to do it and participate in some form or fashion. How can we, as citizens of the world, become better wildlife watchers?
The place to start, like you say, is with birds. They're handy, they're everywhere. You can put up a feeder. You can get just a basic guidebook, you know, the common birds of, and either pick your region or your state, you'll find a little field guide that introduces the common birds, and just get to know them. Find out which kind of feed they like, what kind of feeder it is. Make sure you clean the feeders regularly because, you know, feeders bring birds together and they can pass diseases back and forth. So we want to be responsible wildlife watchers too. And remember that watching, sitting on the porch or the deck and just watching things is never a waste of time. It is a great use of time because anything that makes us appreciate more the creatures around us improves us as human beings. As you know, we share this planet with a lot of creatures, and just to appreciate them opens up brand new vistas of how to be not only better wildlife watchers, but better, you know, wildlife supporters and better people, I think.
The Southern Wildlife Watcher. It's done by the University of South Carolina Press. Rob, where can we get this book?
I'm a big supporter of local bookstores. So if you have one, just call them up and say, there is a book called The Southern Wildlife Watcher by Rob Simbeck. Can you order it for me? That's always a good thing. There are, of course, Amazon and Barnes & Noble and the other great places online that that have the book like this. Or you can order directly from the University of South Carolina Press. But as usual with this, if you just Google Rob Simbeck, the Southern Wildlife Watcher, you will find somebody willing to sell it to you.
It's Rob Simbeck, S-I-M-B-E-C-K, the book, The Southern Wildlife Watcher. Hey, just as a heads up, one of our local legends in the writing business, Jim Cassidy, wrote the foreword. Where'd you find that guy?
I've known Jim for 20 or 30 years. We both go to all the outdoor writer conferences and stuff. Jim is a legend. And if you want to do this seriously in the Southeast, you want to know Jim. He is really generous with his time and energy, and he was kind enough to look the book over, and he was willing to pen a an introduction that's much more literary than the book itself, which is always a blessing to a writer.
Well, Rob Simbeck, it is book number 22 for you, The Southern Wildlife Watcher. Thank you for being on the Carolina Outdoors and taking a little bit of time with us. Right now, we're going to take a quick break and come back with more of the Carolina Outdoors.